And when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday I'll hear the angels singing beyond the shadows of the tomb, and all the bells of heaven ringing while saints are singing home, sweet home. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all earth's broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. The day of rest shall come at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill.
Hello and welcome back to our...
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, amen? A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul, it's hymn number 10. Turn there, join me on that first verse. Every voice, please, on the first.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the path of a rock. Where rivers of pleasure I see.
My soul in
want you to find that hymn book and find hymn number 336. And then when you find it, I want all of you, when I count to three, to tell me the title of it. When I count to three, hymn number 336, what is the title of it? One, two, three. All right, let's sing it. We'll sing all the verses. Do your very best. I heard it all in the story. Let's sing it, please.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Good morning. It's still morning. All right, hope you're doing well here in out there in YouTube land. Hope all is well there, that you're all taking care of yourself. And everything like that. Hope you can hear me okay. Let me know if you can't. Lots of crazy things to talk about here this morning for you. A few things I want to run by you. Man, it feels hot in here. It's warming up out there. It is Teresa, Daryl's wife. Wow. So good to see you on here, Teresa. Hope you're doing well and your family, your husband. Daryl is doing well. Haven't heard from him in a while. I'm sure he'll text me sometime. Hope he's doing good. Hope you're doing well. Glad to see you on here. I asked about you the other day. I was like, where in the world did she go? And I didn't realize you were working so much and everything like that. So anyway, I understand where you went now. And since you were gone, I shaved my beard. So anyway, had to do that, had to trim that out for the summertime here and get ready for summer. But lots to talk about today for sure. And I think you should order this book for your family. It's not cheap, but it's a good book. And I recommend it, A Closer Look at the Evidence. It's a daily devotional. And each one is focused on creation. Each one is focused on refuting evolution and proving the evidence of creation and how evolution is not true. It's a daily devotion from the Word of God. So it's all there. And you ought to get that. Here's one of the devotions. It talks about DNA of a human cell could fill 4,000 encyclopedia-sized books. Think about that. Then it goes in and gives you scripture. Order the KJV edition of that. Because there's some other editions that you wouldn't want, obviously. But I recommend it. My wife is using it right now. I use it sometimes when I come home with the kids, if she hasn't done it yet. But, you know, we're using it every day. And, you know, yesterday they talked about, the devotion was about bats. So lots of good stuff in here. Goes through all the different science, biology, and different things. You know, different aspects of science to explain it and show the proof of the Word of God for all of it. It's really good. So, and no, I don't make any money recommending it to you or anything like that. So, anyway. So look at that one right there and think about ordering that. You can order it at kunger@bethelbaptist.ca. And make sure you say the King James edition. Okay? But you can't order that. If you order it in bulk, you can get discounts. Everything like that. But you know, I think you ought to check it out. I think you'll like it. I think it would be a great devotion to explain and to teach your children. Great science book based on the Word of God, devotions and such. So anyway, think about that, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. Pray for me. I've got a decision to make here. I had a man contact me that owns a television station down south somewhere. And he would like to sign me up. He would like me to sign up to be a part of his television station to, or not a part of it, but to advert, basically put my sermons on there. And it has a reach of about 225,000 people. And he found Hollywood Satanic Roots. And he watched Hollywood Satanic Roots and he was completely taken by it. And he was like, you know, people need to hear this message and messages like it. Because he noticed some of the content and he looked at it and he said, there's a lot of things that you talk about that a lot of pastors don't talk about. So if you want to, I'll charge you a very low fee. I won't go into that. It's pretty much nothing, meaningless, but I'll just put it that way. And then I'll put it on. And I said, now listen, are you sure you want to do this? I said, are you sure you want to do this? Cause I mean, I tend to make people mad. I don't know if you want me on there or not, you know? And yes, Carl, I forgot my ginger. I haven't drank it in 2 days, and I can tell with my voice. When I don't do that, that's what happens to me here lately anyway. Anyway, so he said that don't worry about it. He said, I've had my fights with these big wigs. He said, I've fought these liberals and I've dealt with them. And he said, I stood up to them and had them all hate my guts, wrote about their politicians and, you know, on TV or radio or something, he said, and stood up to them and they wanted to oust me more than once. So he said, don't worry about that. He said, I've had my battles. So I told him I'd think about it and pray about it. And I really haven't given it a whole lot of thought, to be honest with you. I'm not really. God's taught me to not be flattered by things. And I haven't raced to do it. I really haven't. I think probably 3 or 4 years ago, I would have raced to do it right away. And I haven't. You know, I haven't raced to jump on that. I've kind of just waited. And I haven't prayed a whole lot about it. But you do pray to ask the Lord to use you and pray to ask the Lord to, you know, give you wisdom and give you opportunities and things of that nature. So, you know, it's not something that I've raced to do. God's taught me to wait. So I just contacted him and I'll contact him again. It's, you know, and I would contact him again and, you know, see what the, you know, what the Lord, how the Lord leads with that. And we'll see what happens. We'll see. I think they would probably want to hear about the Hollywood, the Disney ones, a lot of the Hollywood ones that I did, and some of the other ones. I'll put on some of those sanctification gospel messages as well. Separation, righteousness, holiness, teaching the Bible, those sorts of things. All sorts of things like that to, you know, see, and we'll see what happens with that. Amen. We'll see what God does. So, anyway, I'll let you know when I find out more about that. And we'll go from there. But you pray with me for all that, and we'll see what the Lord does in the meantime. Amen. We'll see what God does with it. Yep, the pre-flood world one would be a good one too. I'd put on there, absolutely. Probably not the sheriff of Steele County short-circuiting. We won't put that on there. Probably leave that one off. Right? Probably leave that one off. But yep, the pre-flood world one would be good. And then Luke can help me put together a bunch of these other PowerPoints that can go on there too as well. I mean, we got a backlog of things that we got to get done. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes and what the Lord does with it. But you pray for us about that. And that'll be interesting. I won't tell you where any of it's at yet. I don't want to get ahead of myself at all. So I won't tell you where it is. You'll find out. I'll let you know when it's time. But I'll tell you one thing. Oh, brother. When some people find out where it is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. When some people find out. Oh, man. That's going to be funny. Oh, that's going to be funny. I'm already laughing about it. Some of you don't know why I'm laughing. You won't figure it out for a while, but that's okay. I can't say anything. But when people find out, it's going to be funny, though. Oh, when certain people find out, it's going to be very funny. But nevertheless, we move on. And we've got to make our... You know what's amazing? Apostasy has not stopped. Was not stopped by COVID-19. Isn't that something? Pornography rewiring your brain would be another good one. That's right. Oh, I'm not talking about Jezebels. I'm talking, well, maybe I am. I'm talking about people. Never mind, it doesn't matter. There surely are fun times ahead. Oh, yes. Anyway, hey, if you've got a suggestion, send it to PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Any of the sermons or teachings or anything like that that you believe would be good for me to do, just send me an email and remind me, okay? PastorCooley@iCloud.com. You know? I think I would probably try to do the broadcast that I did on geocentricity also, which would be an interesting one. Just different stuff that nobody's heard about. Let's see. I got to find... what I'm looking for here. Okay. Now for our first apostasy watch. Here we go. Let's see, where are we? We're right here. The first apostasy watch Jezebel goes to church. She not only goes to church, but she prophesies at church. Southern Baptist Convention. Southern Baptist Convention has decided to anoint Jezebels to preach. How about that? To ordain Jezebels. That's something. What does the Bible say about that? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Okay. So, Jezebel's on the warpath, right? Southern Baptist Churches names woman as teaching pastor. Warning. That's right, Mike. You are entering the apostasy zone. See, Luke doesn't have any time to do the stuff I want to get done. I'd like to do an intro video. I'd like to do a get some PowerPoints done. I'd like to get a lot of these things done. He's not going to have time to do it, so I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. But I'd like to have intro video, and I'd like to have things like that that I can add into it, because I think it would be funny. It'd be fun, too. But I'll figure it out. Or like Dr. Susan, we could have lots of good fun that is funny, okay? Like the Cat in the Hat said. Despite the fact the scriptures are clear that women are not to teach, progressive churches continue to rebel against God by handing the pulpit over to women, like Beth Moore, who is a witch. Again, this will make people mad, I know. And I just had somebody send me an email today. You know, I shouldn't tell people this, obviously. But one thing that annoys me, and people will do it more because it annoys me, but that's okay. I just think it's really cowardly. It's like the cowardly lion. Okay? This is one thing that annoys me. This is what he says to me. Some good information, but your attitude is not helpful. I'm all about speaking the truth, even being very strong about it. But the Bible says to speak the truth in love. Okay. I agree. I agree with that. It does say that. But that's not always going to be a calm demeanor in a monotone way, and it's not always going to be without fire. And I like how they throw this in, but you know what's even better? You know what's even better and proves, and if you're listening, Nick, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to be a man and give me your email address. Send me a private email and let's have a discussion about it. Now, no one knows who this is, and that's fine. I don't want anybody to know who it is. But the point is, if you're going to leave a little sniping comment, if you're going to be sitting on a roof somewhere and sniping at me, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you really believe what you said? Don't you think it'd be a good idea to leave an email address or send me an email and actually correspond about it instead of just like sniping with no ability to respond to you at all? I just think it's very cowardly. That's what I think. I think it's very cowardly. when people do that. And they do it all the time. Anyway. So, back to Jezebel. So they anointed Jezebel here, a teacher, pastor, teaching pastor. And here she is.
Hold on. We're going to do this together. Amen? Thank y'all. So here's what I'd love for us to do together. I'd love for us all to go back in your minds. So here's already sold. So already sold.
She's talking about a woman's conference. Now, she is speaking before the whole church. She's preaching before the entire church here, which we know the Bible forbids. Right? We know it forbids that.
So this will be the one time that I say this is okay. I'm used to talking to students and telling them to put their phone up. But if you are a lady in the house, go ahead and take your phone out and text Women's Conference to 30303. That's our, like, holy number, because there's lots of threes and the Trinity is a good thing. So go ahead and text that.
That was really lame. That was super, super, super lame.
I'm telling you, I really believe that by the 5 p.m., I'm going to be saying, hey, God loves women, and apparently women love God, because we're completely sold out. So I don't want you to miss out on that. Cool? Cool. Well, my name's Meredith. Church, do you ever have those moments or those mornings where, let's be honest, I'm like an honest person, that you're like dragging to come to church? Anybody? Some of you are like, yeah, this morning. I have those mornings sometimes. For me, this is not one of those mornings. Since I found out that I was going to get the chance to talk with you during this Activated series, I've been so excited to preach this message.
Just the fact that she said that. Just the fact that she said that drives me so insane.
But before I get into actual teaching, again, I want us, this is not just something I want to just say for a number of minutes, but for us to participate together in this. Because it can feel kind of lonely up here when a bunch of people are just staring at you. So we're going to do...
Did you hear what she said? It can feel kind of lonely up here. This is supposed to be a preacher. Well, it's a woman, so anyway. But the point is, I want you to think about this for a second. This is not preaching, and this is not a church in that sense.
Do this together. Amen? Hold on. We're going to do this together. Amen?
Amen?
Thank y'all. So here's what I'd love for us to do together. I'd love for us all to go back in your minds and think about the first time you were truly afraid. The first time you're...
Is that like right now? Is that like right now that I'm like truly afraid of you? Like, I'm truly annoyed by this.
Sweet little child heart just was beating uncontrollably, that your palms were sweating, that your knees were weak, arms were heavy, there's vomit on his sweater. No? Okay. That first time. Do you got it? Okay. My first fearful moment that I can remember was the first time I ever rode a roller coaster. Any roller coaster fans in the house across the state? My people love a roller coaster. Also, I seem to get sick way easier the older I get. I used to be able to just ride. Now I ride one, I'm like, I need an hour and some nachos. Like, that's usually how my roller coaster journey goes now. But back then, I remember I'm the youngest of three. I have two older brothers. I'm what some would call a blessing. Others would call surprise. That was me. So I grew up going to these theme parks with my older brothers, but I could never ride the rides they could. Do y'all remember this as a kid? Like, fears right now to choose between. Because how many of you know, fear is a reality of life, right? Fear is a reality we've all dealt with, but not all fears are created, right? I'm so excited. No, nobody.
This is so by the way, the way she's dressed is so absolutely immodest too. I mean, she's got these stinking skin tight britches on that she's got on, painted on right now. And this is a woman standing up before every man there dressed like that.
Together on a cushion or a couch. It is safe here. It is a comfort here. But he says that the fear of the Lord is the pathway to get here. So speaking of translations, I didn't want to just look up what it meant to be friends. I wanted to look up what fear actually means. And if you go back to the original Hebrew in this scripture, guess what fear actually translates to?
What's that?
Fear.
That's wonderful.
Brilliant. Listen, I've heard a lot of people talk about the fear of the Lord, and they've taught how it is reverence and awe, and that's true. It's just not entirely true.
What?
The kind of not entirely true, like you're running late somewhere and your friend texts you and is like, hey, are you almost here? And you're like, yeah, I'm about to park. You're in a car on an interstate that will eventually park.
Are you getting this? This woman is redefining what the fear of the Lord is.
But you're still on the interstate about 10 minutes away, okay? How many of you know a friend who does this? I'm 5 minutes away. That's like the last 5 minutes of a football game when everybody still has their timeouts. That's the kind of 5 minutes they're talking about. Just trying to make sports relevant, okay? I'm trying to reach you where we are.
Look, these people are not responding to this because it's a joke. That's why.
But fear actually translates fear, and it does mean reverence, and it does mean awe, but it also means fear. The kind of fear you feel when you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and it is beautiful, and it is lovely to behold, and your mind is blowing, but you know, don't mess around on the edge of the Grand Canyon. That kind of fear. The kind of fear that if all fears are not created equal, there's a fear of the Lord, a type of trembling. And listen, if you're anything like me, I thought, whoa, 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 I thought perfect love casts out fear. And that is true, but it's talking about the lesser fears that we killed back at Easter. You know what I'm talking about? The sin, shame, self, and Satan. Those are dead in Jesus' name. His love has cast them out.
You killed them.
But the enemy has been twisting this fear of the Lord thing to make us try to demean it and make it something it's not. And we are bending and flexing on things we were never meant to. And the only thing being cast out is the intimacy and the realness and the authenticity we get to have in a relationship with God.
Why are you? Why would you sit on a couch and say this? Why would you sit on a couch and say this? This is so creepy.
Us back today to the appropriate fear of God that leads to a life like this. Anybody want access to this? This is great. So I'm believing it's going to happen today. But here's kind of our filter with that. If not all fears are created equal, here's our filter for this. The fear of the Lord means I fear God more than I fear anything else. Fear is fear. But there's a fear that motivates us, that activates us, that leads to an intimacy that I believe
us.
We're all going to get access to today.
That you'll get activated with. So you can sit on the couch. Stupid.
And this is not just an Old Testament concept. This is the New Testament that we see them operating in, the appropriate fear of God. And I'm about to walk through four. This is not an exhaustive or excessive list. It's what I just believe God wanted me to point out today.
Okay.
So feel free to take notes.
So God actually wanted you here today doing this? Like this was the will of God. So it was the will of God. All right. Now this is a perfect opportunity. All right. This is a perfect opportunity to talk to you about something here. All right. I want you to. Here's what I want you to think about here. I'm going to ask you a question. How do we know that God does not want her there today doing what she's doing? How do we know that?
Oh, mighty fortress is ours.
so you got it right. Most of you said the Bible. Okay, let's be more specific. What God says in his word tells us specifically that women are not to usurp authority over the man. They're not to teach in a mixed assembly. They're not to preach. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in subjection, right? So we already know that God didn't lead her to do this. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? It's important because this is that whole Jezebel charismatic type spirit. They say they come in the name of the Lord. They say they... When someone says to you, it's God's will or God wants me to do this, the first question you ask yourself and you ask them is this: does what you're doing violate clear scriptural teaching? I have had a lot of men, even. Let's go to men and not women. I have had a ton of men tell me that they were doing things that it was God's will for them to do. And that's like their catch-all phrase to get away with whatever they want to get away with. And that is, well, it's God's will for me to do this. See, Jezebel wrote in her husband's name. Did that make it her husband's decree? No. Do you know how many women I have seen write in their husband's name and do things in churches in their husband's name, but then you find out they're not really submissive to their husband and they're really running the show and they use it as a front? So number one, does it violate clear scriptural teaching? Number two, does it violate principles of the scripture? Those two things have to be asked in any situation when it comes to things like this, especially. And if you're going to make decisions in your life, you better be able to back them up with the Bible. A lot of times people are fit with emotions when they make decisions. Haste makes waste. They are hasty in their decisions. They are hasty in what they do. They are amped up by feelings only. They have not considered what the scriptures say. They have ignored many points, many portions of the scripture to do what they want to do. So then they do it. And they regret it. Or they do it because they're not God's child and they really don't care.
Lean in. I'm going to say some challenging things, but I believe in it is the safety and the intimacy of God. So here we go. Four things. If you're ready, can we all together say amen? Amen. Thank y'all. All right.
There's like three people that said that, by the way, and they're women.
Number one, the activated church fears God more than man. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because Dan did a lot of this for us last week, but I don't know about you. Anybody live completely free of the fear of man last week? No.
That's the activated church does that. That's the activated one.
So we probably need to work on this a little more, be reminded of it. And I want to highlight again what he spoke. And I want to treasure and not say anything. Have truly experienced the presence of Jesus like Peter and John experienced the presence of Jesus. When you got to break bread with him, when you know what it means, when you see the transfiguration, when you understand his glory, the greatest fear is not to speak up. The greatest fear is to be quiet. that we could have this greatest treasure and not say anything about it. I watched this documentary this past weekend. What a for us. But not fear man is not do better. Not fear man. Filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. This is amazing. The fact that the prayer life of the...
Why does this seem so... Well, I know why. It seems so fake and it lacks any bit of unction from the Holy Ghost. It is purely this fleshly driven garbage. I'm just going to say it. It's garbage. I realize this can make women mad too, but I don't really care.
The apostles was one that did not try to avoid danger, but one was God's calling. One day when my pulse stops working, when my heart turns cold, when my flesh is resurrected, we're family to. Not going to lie to you. The activated church fears God more than the appearance of fearing God. We fear God more than the appearance of fearing God. And this is where I'm going to spend most of my time, because if I'm being honest, I think this is the American Southern Church's biggest boo-boo right now.
Well, I have a question about your biggest boo-boo. Do you think if a woman actually feared God, she would read the Bible and she would realize that women have absolutely no authority to preach the word of God? That wouldn't fearing God translate in the way she dresses, the way she walks, the way she talks, the meek and quiet spirit that she walks with? Wouldn't all that mean that she feared God? Wouldn't that be the example of fearing God, the fruit of fearing God?
That we know what to do. We know what we're supposed to say. We know what it looks like to appear to fear God, but do we actually fear God? And this comes from a story. I'm going to stand up to say this.
Oh, great.
Because my blood needs to circulate. This comes from a story in the New Testament about, the story I'm about to tell comes actually on the heels of a, what I like to call the honeymoon phase of the church. Jesus. Now, don't let the wrong fear stir up, but what we see as a result of this in the early church is this in Acts 5:11. And after their death, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Yeah, I imagine so. But what Christ is warning us of in these scriptures is we cannot get it twisted. God is kind. He is loving. He is gracious. He gave everything for you, but he will not be mocked and he will not be lied to.
So then why are you mocking him right now? To openly blaspheme God is to... By the way, look at this. Let's see. What does it say? That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. She ain't discreet up there. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The definition of blaspheme. To speak of the supreme being in terms of impious irreverence, to revile or speak reproachfully, to speak evil of or to utter abuse, to utter blasphemy, to arrogate the prerogatives of God, right? So, This is blasphemy. That's what it is. It's irreverence for God. Think about the fact that here's a woman that is standing up before everybody, right? And she is blaspheming God by what she's doing.
Paul even warns us of this about us in the church in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, is about to hand the church to this young man named Timothy, and he warns Timothy with this. Y'all look at this. But understand this, Timothy, about to hand house. And it started to go from like kind of just wanting to play with them to how dare Mom and Dad tell me what I can or cannot do with my own golf clubs. I'm about to be in the LPGA because I'm a lady. And you know what? Kelsey, my friend Kelsey in my neighborhood, come over. Let's play with these. What Mom and Dad know, don't know, won't hurt them. It didn't hurt them. Guess who it did hurt? Because see this dent in my face? That ain't a dimple. Literally a dent. I am marked. Don't zoom in. Fear God more than the way. In the middle. I remember growing up, and my parents provided for. And I. What's up? This is one of my favorite ones.
It is?
The scripture I'm about to read.
Wait a minute. The activated church fears God more than cultural norms?
It really is more just like of a catch-up in the middle of scripture, like a sweet breath. It's not really tied to another story. We're chapters in now, and it's kind of like the Spirit of God just, this pillow. Here you go, God. It's like the Spirit of God just wants to update us on.
Wait, did you see what she just did? Did you just see what she just did?
The state of the church at this point. So it says this in Acts 9:31. Look at this. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. I want to point out in this scripture, Judea, Galilee, and Samaria traditionally in that time did not talk to each other. They were culturally different. They were ethnically different. They were economically different. They had different customs. They had different accents. They had different ways that they related to each other, different ways they did homes, different. But God is showing us that fear of the Lord can unify people who are meant to be divided, but in Jesus' name, they come together in beautiful unity when the fear of the Lord fills us all. And I just want to invite us this morning, church, that in a world destined to divide each other, we've got to fear the Lord more than we do fearing cultural norms. It is terrifying to cross cultural boundaries. I don't understand your culture. You don't understand mine. I don't understand how you grew up. You don't understand how I grew up. I don't understand how you experience life. You don't understand how I experience life. But how is it supposed to get fixed if we don't go first in crossing boundaries and lines and having conversations face to face?
Crossing boundaries? Really?
In the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, racism and denominationalism and sexism and college football loving ism and whatever other ism you want to say is completely killed when the fear of the Lord is the main goal. When we kick off the couch the sins that have been taking up too much space because we've invited them into a place they were never meant to be, there's now space for the beautiful and multicultural and multigenerational and multi-ethnic and multi-whatever else beautiful, bold, no ordinary family of God can dwell. To which the Lord looks into the house of the family of God and goes, what is that about? And we get to say and proclaim out loud, we've just decided that if we share the name of Jesus, then we share enough.
I mean, what do you expect from a Jezebel? Do you expect the truth?
In Jesus, we are one family, no matter our color, no matter our income, no matter our political nominee who we're rooting for, whatever it is, we cannot fear the government more than we do fearing the Lord. We cannot fear. I don't know how to have this conversation. Just have it. Just try. Just go into it. Just because it's the way it has always been is not saying that's how it was always supposed to be. And the church has to go first here. We got to fear God more than we do cultural norms. No matter how our dad raised us, our mom raised us, no matter the culture we grew up in, we need some line crossers in the house of God.
Line crossers.
I am scared to ask you this, but I'm more scared not to. Would you tell me what it's like being you?
What in the world does that even mean? That is the dumbest thing. I'm scared to ask this of you. What is it like to be you? Oh my goodness. This is actually going on and people are actually showing up to this. By the way, this is Perry Noble's old church. The one he got kicked out of for being a drunk. This is Perry Noble's church.
It's beautiful. We need more of it. So that's where we are this morning.
Really?
Walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I believe because of it, the church will multiply. So here's what I would love to do. We're not in a rush this morning. All of life is so fast. Get here, work. Here we go, check it off, grocery shopping, whatever. I would love to just take a breath and share with you a prayer that God gave to me. But here's why. I want to encourage you as we wrap up. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then good news, the fear of the Lord has already started in you. Because Proverbs 9 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't even know to profess Jesus as Lord until the fear of the Lord starts to start wisdom in our minds. But it's also kind of like, you know, we've been invited to the house. We have the comfort. We have the peace. We have the protection. We have the provision. But how many of you, do you remember the first time you accidentally told one of your parents to shut up? I remember growing up and my parents provided for me. I remember when I got sick, they picked me up from school, I'd get on the couch, they'd feed me ice pops and soup. My parents are great. They taught me my purpose. They led me into my potential. They disciplined me when I needed it. And then I remember the first time it accidentally slipped out. We were in a little bit of a fight and I went, shut up. Oh no. Because the fear of Susan Knox filled my entire being, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Because here's what happened. I started to become a little too familiar with my mom to fear. And I believe in the American church today, we could not become too familiar with church to fear God. Too familiar with the rituals and the singing and the prayer and the blah, 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 to fear God. I'm calling us back this morning. I'm calling us up this morning that this is the safest place to live in friendship with the Lord through the path of fearing Him. Safety is. This is where the intimacy is. This is where the hope is. This is where the love is. This is where the power is. This is where the boldness is. That if all fears are not created equal, then we got to learn how to live under the greater fear of fearing the Lord. We can't miss together. And I'm going to give us just 30 seconds to ask God.
Oh, great.
This prayer that I just shared. So let's take that time. From here on out would only know what it means to not just be a Southern God-fearing man, but actually a man and a woman who's son to life.
That
from here on out would only.
So now she's gonna start telling the men what to do. Watch.
So if that's you, every campus, no matter who you are, no matter what it is, if you know you need to understand more of this, on the count of three, will you stand to your feet? 1, 2, 3.
What is
across
this
every
game?
Campus, every
what is this garbage game about? Okay, 1, 2, 3. And it's like a queued up thing that you have to do. It drives me nuts.
If you know you need to live in more of the reality of what this is, praise God. Praise God. Anyone else?
Nope, just you.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, anybody else in any campus, Columbia, Spartanburg, Myrtle Beach? God is pleased to move in a church like this.
Oh. You mean one that's defiant to God? One that tells God, no, I won't obey your clear, revealed word that women shouldn't be preachers?
So if you're standing, I'm just going to invite you to put your hands out in front of you in a receptive posture.
Okay, you ready? You're going to put your hands out in front of you.
Posture. And we're going to pray together for the fear of God to fill us in all the appropriate and right ways. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters across every New Spring Auditorium. God, I pray that you would fill them to overflowing this week with what it means to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit who calls us to the fear of the Lord. I pray that generational sin would completely break away in these individuals, that their families from here on out.
Hello. Oh my goodness gracious. Can you believe it?
Now would only know what it means to not just be a Southern God-fearing man, but actually a man and a woman who stands in the reality of the power of the fear of God. I pray that you would ignite their Bible reading time with you, that it would come to life, that they would fall in love with your word and fall in love with your standard and fall in love with your, quote, house rules, knowing that they are the safest place to live. Make us people who are so full of the fear of you, God, that we have no room to fear anything else. No fear of man. I reject it right now in Jesus' name.
I reject it. I reject the fear. Flu, I bind you. I reject you. Isn't it great? Awesome. This is a Baptist church down south.
No fear of missing out on what the world says is pleasurable. I reject it right now in Jesus' name. No fear of what it means that our whole family has walked one way when it comes to culture, but we're going to step across the lines and say, not in my family, not in my generation. I'm going to talk to someone who I'm scared to talk to because I'm so full of the fear of God. Would you honor those standing today? Would you honor our church in this response? And Holy Spirit, would you fill them to overflowing in Jesus' name? And all those standing, I'm going to invite you to look at me. And I'm going to ask you, we're about to have a response time like we normally have. Would you flood the front of your auditoriums? You're already halfway there. You already stood. But if you know you stood because you need salvation, that's something that you've never received, and today the beginning of wisdom started in your heart, please come forward and talk to someone. If it's a sin thing, sometimes we need a brother or sister to lay a hand on us and impart freedom.
Whoa! Sometimes we just need a brother and sister to lay hands on us to impart us some freedom. Could anybody show me in the Bible where it says that God's going to have somebody put a hand on me to impart me freedom? Impartation. She just used the magic word, Aaron. She just used the magic word, impartation. That be code word. That be code word for magic, spooky, charismatic witch.
If it's just a boldness thing, whatever it is, would you please come forward and receive prayer from someone on the care team up front? And everyone else, would you actually stand to your feet with me? Because we're all going to respond together. And care team, as they do, you can begin coming forward.
Care team.
Because we're going to respond in the way that we always do here as a church, with prayer, with giving, and with worship.
Ah.
Hey, maybe you didn't stand, but you know you need to come forward because you need something. I don't know what it is. But just like me a few weeks ago over here, terrified, maybe you just need to come forward. You know what? I left lighter. I left more at peace. I left more bold. And all it took, I was literally 4 steps from the front. I'm not coming to you as someone who has this all figured out. I'm coming to you as someone who's desperate to keep learning.
I want to see what that tattoo is, man. That is, look at that tattoo, man. Does anybody see that tattoo right there? I'm trying to figure out what that is, man. Look at that. Bunch of witches.
So come forward if you need prayer. We're going to give. We have more students who have applied for scholarships for the Gauntlet than we ever have. And let me tell you, Caleb White is the result of Gauntlet. Justin Harrison up here playing drums and Anderson is a result of Gauntlet. Our future leaders and someone who could actually shift the tides of culture is going to Gauntlet, but they need someone to foot the bill. Gauntlet to life, that they would more of this on the count of three. Will you stand for him? God, I pray that you, in Jesus' name. The sin thing, the tides of culture is going to Gauntlet, but they need someone to foot the bill. Let's give, and hey, let's worship. Listen, I love to sing. I realize, like, I'm maybe one of the rare ones who will stand right here and yell my lungs out. But what I'm telling you, sometimes you need to hear yourself declare the truth in order to believe it. So I know you're afraid to sing. Be more afraid not to.
Look, David Ickes, you need to be able to declare this. I don't know if you're listening right now or if you took a lunch break, but I just want you to know that you need to be able to declare this before you can actually believe it. All right? That's all I'm saying.
I'm afraid to lift my hands. Be more afraid not to. If you feel like you've left a couple of weeks from church and didn't get anything, maybe it's because our hands weren't lifted to receive it. So we're going to sing and worship now. We're going to give and we're going to pray together because that's what churches do. And surprise, we're a church. So let's do that together as I pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your heart for us. We give it all back to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's respond together by singing, by coming forward, whatever it is that we need to do to activate our faith. Let's let our souls tell him how great he is.
You gotta activate your faith.
Sings my soul, then sings my soul, how great your love is.
He's worthy of our praise.
How great your love is. My soul, then sings my soul, how great your love is.
That's right.
How great your love.
Now, David Ickes, I don't want you to be jealous because of this wonderful performance of music that's going on here. It takes a lot to ruin a bad song or a good song like that, man.
Oh.
Okay, that was Pastor Meredith Knox. And she was activated. Okay? She was activated. I don't know what your problem is. You need to be activated. That's what your problem is right there. Now, see, when I read this and it says to be activated, the way they mean it, all I think about is they sound like a bunch of witches. Hang on, I'm going to grab my next article. Time here. Now, I don't push any hate towards Muslims. I want them to be saved by the grace of God. So I'm not mad at them. This is happening in Minneapolis. This happened yesterday in Minneapolis. They were allowed to have a Ramadan public call to prayer. Now, I've been shut down in Minneapolis in different places for using amplification, all that kind of stuff. So I think this is kind of interesting, to be honest with you.
they're on top of that building there broadcasting the call to prayer.
Now, I bet people put down the protests, though, in Minnesota, and they talked about the protests and how bad they were, right? That people are protesting, and they shouldn't be doing that. No desire to take their right away to do that. People to protest, why would it be such an issue for people to stand up for what's right, what they believe in, or for churches to assemble? See, I don't think it is, to be honest with you. But here's another one. Yep, that's Minnesota. As drive-in church services are being raided by police, mosques continue to hold services glorified by media. As churches around the nation are doing everything they can to follow the guidelines, I'm not doing everything I can to follow the guidelines. Let me tell you, I'm not. I took some time in the beginning to take a look at things to make sure this wasn't some grand plague that was spreading through everywhere and we weren't in the hottest spot and it was terrible and all that other stuff. But I'm not going to stop doing what God's called me to do, and we're not going to stop assembling as a church, and we're not going to stop doing those things because the government has a problem with it, or the government says they can mandate. A governor can. Governors don't make laws. They don't. And the argument is not for us to adjust what we do to make the government happy. Well, maybe I should set everybody up apart and all this stuff and blah, 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 and everything else. Why? It's such a bunch of nonsense when 80% of the economy is out there working and doing things. And then it's like, okay, well, you have to do it this way. There was a Texas town that just opened up yesterday. But what you have to understand about the church in America, the institution of the church in America, is that it's never... It was since the Constitution was established and the states recognized that and adopted their own constitutions of religious liberty, the states have never, our local New Testament churches, to be subject to the state. The Bill of Rights is very clear on the matter. Okay, to follow the guidelines set by the CDC and the government social distancing best practices amid the coronavirus pandemic, the media has been nonstop harassing these worshipers for practicing their First Amendment rights to express their religion. Churches are being harassed by police for holding drive-in services and citing them for not following social distancing orders. Despite the fact that they even get out of their cars. That they don't even get out of their cars. Leftists are pouring nails into the parking lot of churches, trying to keep them home. Interesting, they had to leave home to do that. And Louisiana pastor was charged with 6 misdemeanors for holding worship. Others are being arrested and detained and all kinds of things. Yet, the media has been silent on Islamic mosques that continue to... So, anyway. Is it a double standard? Well, sure it is. Sure it is. So, look at that. What is it? Garbage. That's what it is. That's what it is. Garbage. Let's see. Meanwhile, a Minnesota senator says that what seems to be a never-ending assault on the Constitution. This Minnesota senator said the state police said if you organize a rally at the Capitol building, we're going to arrest you. Well, honestly, if I was that congressman, I would say, well, don't just sing it, bring it. And I would have as many people there as I could if I was him. That's exactly what I would do. And I would say, well, you're just going to have to arrest me then. And we'll see how it holds up, right? We'll see how it all holds up. Meanwhile, this devil is still out there being an even bigger devil. Virginia passes legislation forcing churches to allow transgender males into women's bathrooms. Like, what are you going to do? Come and make me? I mean, I'm not in Virginia, but I mean, what are you going to do? Come and make me? right? You gonna come in the bathroom and see if we're doing it? You gonna come into the church house to see if it's being done? See, here's the problem, though. If these churches are corporations, then what they've done is they've signed their paperwork. And they've said they agree to obey public policy. They agreed. Right? They agree to public policy. That's a problem. Because now when government enforces public policy, when it enforces public policy and public policy changes, so does the rights of that church in that sense, or that religious organization. Remember Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, the blackface guy, signed a stack of bills pushing radical legislation, including one that now forces all organizations that are not open to the public to allow transgender people to use the restroom of their choice. So he's saying some Fruit Loop comes into your building or your meeting house, wherever you're at, and he can go into the girls' bathroom. Well, I don't think that would go very well, do you? I don't think that would go very... I think there'd be some people that would fight that, don't you? In a statement following the passage of legislation, Northam opined, "This legislation sends a strong, clear message. Virginia is a place where all people are welcome to live, work, and visit." Of course, all people are not welcomed in Virginia, especially those who hold a conservative or Christian sexual ethic. It offers a very narrow exemption for certain businesses and organizations that are not, in fact, open to the public. This provision of this section shall not apply to a private club or a place of accommodation owned by or operated on behalf of a religious corporation, association, or society that is not, in fact, open to the public, or any other establishment that is not, in fact, open to the public. But most churches are open to the public. That's the problem. Most churches welcome the public at any time during any service. There's not much difference in there or China, is there really? Not really. Not a whole lot of difference, is there? How about this crazy apostate here? Televangelist Jimmy Baker has been cut off by credit card companies after he was accused of selling a fake coronavirus cure and asked viewers to send cash or checks. And asked viewers to send cash or checks, or he may have to file for bankruptcy. I don't know if this is it or not. So he's saying he's being falsely accused. Baker was criticized for selling his silver solution as a cure for COVID-19 in February, and the state of Missouri sued the televangelist last month, accusing him of lying to consumers, the Kansas City Star reports. Now Baker and his wife and co-host Lori Baker say their ministry, based on outside Branson, Missouri, could face bankruptcy. SOS Save Our Station, Save Our Ship, help us stay on the air, he said this week. We're asking people to give an offering and we need a miracle. Your products are going to come to you. Every one of them will come to you, come right to your house. And if we can't, we're going to refund. I will sell the building, parts of the building at Morningside. In the long run, if you give me a chance, don't let me have to file for bankruptcy. We need money to stay on the air. I'm just saying it bluntly, he said. Baker and his wife asked for people to buy their books or send in donations. They're already bleeding us to death, and now we're going to have to pay lawyers that will bleed you to death, Baker said. There you go. Old Jimmy. Old Jimmy, they're still out there, people like that, right? Still out there. Coronavirus, it doesn't kill the heretics, does it? Doesn't kill those that they're still out there roaming around. By the way, you don't hear about all these healing places, do you? They're not talking very loud, are they? They're not talking very much, are they, out there? How about this one here? How about a Harvard law professor? Homeschooling is dangerous. Parents should not have 24/7 control over their children. Harvard law professor, homeschooling dangerous. Check that out. A prominent Hollywood, that's about the same. Oops, you can't check it out. There you go. A prominent Harvard law professor is calling for a ban on homeschool, stating that it is dangerous for children to be left with their parents 24/7 and to have authoritarian control over them. In an article by Aaron O'Donnell titled The Risk of Homeschooling, O'Donnell outlines Elizabeth Bartlett, Wasserton Public Interest Professor of Law and Faculty, Director of the Law School Child Advocacy Group at Harvard, take on how dangerous it is to allow parents to educate their own children. Bartlett not only insists that homeschooling deprives children of their right to a meaningful education, but that it also violates their right to be protected from potential child abuse and keeps them from contributing positively to the democratic society. Really? Wow. Translation, says one, what Bartlett means is that it violates the left's right to define how other people's children become indoctrinated with whatever the left deems to be a meaningful education. Red progressive education. Bartlett does not define what law gives children any right to a meaningful education, because there isn't one. Whatever a meaningful education is, it has nothing to do with her standards that she has arbitrarily set to define it. Further, the notion that children are at greater risk of child abuse because of homeschooling is an unproven fact. While there are parents who hide behind homeschooling to abuse their children, there are already laws on the books to prevent and punish child abusers. To suggest that pulling children away from their parents and handing them over to the state is the proper way to address child abuse is not only negligent thought, it's subhuman ideology. And while I'm at it, let me say this. Why don't you do a study on how many children are abused by government associations or government groups and foster care that get abused by foster care when the government takes over and puts these children in foster care or by CPS or any of these other groups that are involved with foster care associations and all that other stuff that goes on. How many get abused in those systems and in those networks and in those groups? They don't want to talk about that, do they? It's because they want their greedy little paws on people's children. That's what it is. They want to infect them with their infectious disease of wickedness and vileness. That's why. They don't talk about that, though, do they? The state does not have a right to our children. Parents have a right to their children. Look, I'm going to tell you something that might shock you. My children belong to me. I said it. Let me say it again. My children belong to me. They have my name. They have my DNA. Here's another one that'll cause heads to spin. My wife belongs to me. I'll say it again. My wife belongs to me. Let me show you in the scriptures. Let's see. Here's one speaking of the spirit of jealousy. And saying, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witnesses against her, neither should she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and shall bring her offering. What is being spoken of here? It's being spoken ownership. It's his wife. Let's see. I think it's 21. No, that's not it. Here it is, Numbers 30. Oops. Break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth, and wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace in her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not any of her vows, or if her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her, because her father disallowed her. See that? Do you see that right there? See the difference? You know, I don't have time to talk about this today. Well, actually, I do, but I sort of don't. I don't because I'm going to spend the afternoon and evening with my family today. So I'm going to take off here at about 1, and I'm going to go pray for an hour, and then I'm going to grab my family, and we're going to go do something. So look what it says, though. Numbers 30. This is why you don't raise boys and girls the same. Numbers 30 further clarifies that raising boys and girls the same is foolish nonsense. Look, I teach my daughters the difference between them and their brother. And I don't mean just the organs that they possess. But I teach them the difference. I happen to have 5 daughters. So, and I have 1 son who's the oldest. But I teach them the difference in the two. Because there is an absolute vast difference in both of them. There is an absolute difference in both of them. And when that's not done, when you don't do that, you'll raise a girl that's out of bounds, and she'll be bossy and snappy with people and try to rule her husband, even in the confines of Christianity. Or you'll raise a son that doesn't live up to his potential, be a man, be kind and loving to his wife, and lead his family. So both of those things have to be done. Both of those things have to be followed. They have to be different. Kevin, when you say yes, your body belongs to your wife in the sense of fornication, not to send it out anywhere else, but the ownership of a man over his wife is his authority and his headship. My wife doesn't have the authority to tell me what to do. Doesn't mean I don't listen to her at times. But it just means that the authority for her is not there. But look what it says here. This is raising boys and girls. This is a whole other broadcast sometime, but raising boys and girls differently is proven right here. No, Kevin, you didn't, but I am. The difference in the two that are there. If a girl makes a vow, it's got to be cleared by her husband or her father, whichever, she's not married or whatever the case may be. Right? It's got to be covered either by the husband or the father, wherever she's at. Okay? So, when you look at that, when you see the differences there, then you understand that the husband is in authority over that, and he's going to set the order, clear it. So, a wife is not allowed to bind herself to some kind of a religious vow without her husband's permission. Right? So Numbers 30 is a good chapter to understand that, that teaches that, and it kind of explains all of that. It brings out the truth of that. But you will see all through the scriptures that the wife belongs to the husband in that sense. And how far we've strayed today from that teaching. Because marriage is being taught today as an equal partnership. That it is some kind of an equal partnership. But it isn't. God never said that marriage was an equal partnership. He never said that at all. But that's what has been portrayed today. That's what's taught. And that's why there's so many problems, by the way, is because people think that. And you got this Harvard lady that her head would stink and spin off of her shoulders all the way around if she was told that. Mary asked a question off topic. If a woman is a single mom and has no father as male authority over her, is it okay for her to work to be able to provide for kids? Well, Mary, she has to. If she has no father and no one to take care of her, she has to work. There isn't anything that she can do about it. It's like Ruth when she was gleaning in the field, right? So that's a good question, Mary. That it's like Ruth gleaning in the field, okay? Ruth gleaned in the field. You know, Ruth gleaned in the field. Why? Because she didn't have a husband and there was no next of kin to take care of her, right? Okay? Okay, so Ruth leaves Moab, right? Ruth leaves Moab. And she goes back to Israel. And here it is. And Naomi had a kid, and they didn't have any money. They were starving. They had no food. So what happens? Somebody's got to go work. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. And she gleaned in the field. And she did what she had to do. And then God eventually provided a husband for her. But her goal was to be married and to have a husband and to be underneath her husband. So, anyway, that's right there in the scriptures. So God has mercy, and the Lord knows the situation that we're in. You know, when there's people that can't homeschool because of that issue. There's people that have to send their kids to Christian school. There's people that have to send their kids to public school. I mean, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. Right? So we have to remember those things, that those are real issues and they happen in people's lives. And sin changes things. You know, sin has an effect and it changes the, it doesn't change the truth, but it changes the circumstances of the situation that you're in. There's nothing you can do about it. Ruth couldn't do anything about that. You know, Ruth couldn't do anything about what she had to do. So she just did the best she could do. And God blessed her for it. Deborah said, my dad told me a man isn't supposed to take care of a woman and a woman needs to pay her own way before she can get married. I've been trying to do this, but I've been falling short. Well, Deborah, that's unfortunate that your father is probably not a saved man and he doesn't understand that he is to take care of his daughter. And if he is a saved man, he doesn't understand that. That's too bad. But that's not what the Bible says. Everywhere in the Bible, we see that a father takes care of his daughters. And that's what he does. Excuse me. So it's unfortunate that he believes that, but that's not biblical. That's wrong. Why do you have to make a lot of money to get married, Deborah? I guess I don't understand why you would have to make a lot of money to get married. Why would that be the case? You shouldn't have to make a lot of money to get married. Anyway, well, is anybody else maybe on here that's listening? There's about 50 people on here right now. There is 50 people on here right now. Go ahead and like the broadcast here and share it on all the social media places and all that good stuff. We only have 20 likes on there, so try to get those up. So we push that algorithm moving forward there. If you haven't liked it, anybody else want to say hi that or have a question or want to say hi to us that's been listening on there? There's only probably 10 people on the chat, so I'm assuming there's 40 other people out there listening right now. Is there anybody? Is there anybody else out there that wants to say hi and let us know how long you've been listening and all that good stuff? That'd be nice to hear from some folks out there. Well, I don't know if her father's saved, and I don't know if the Bible's going to matter to her father or not. Are you engaged to somebody, Deborah? Is there somebody in the picture or what? I guess I don't understand. Kayla said, Pastor, I was contacted by a woman who was looking for advice. Her husband thinks he is saved, but he is abusive to her and cheating on her. They don't have a church they attend. I didn't know what to do. Well, I mean, if he's abusive to her, I mean, I don't know if you're just talking about verbal abuse, which is not good. It's wicked. But if it's verbal abuse, then that's one thing. If it's physical abuse, then she should call the police if she's in danger. That's all I can tell you. If she's getting beat up, she should call the police and tell them she's getting beat up. You know, That's what I tell people. If they're in danger, that's what they do. If they're in some kind of danger. You know, as far as cheating on her goes, I mean, obviously, I don't know the whole story. I don't know anything about that. So what's going on with all that? Sure. Well, that happens. Your parents don't know the truth of things, and that's the way it is. I'm not so concerned with now. I'm what happened before, guys, with these types of teachings. And I've even got into this. I'm going to get into it later. But I care about what we do with the truth now that we have it. You know, what do we do with the truth now that we have it? Do we follow it and obey it? Well, maybe your parents didn't, but maybe you can now. Right? So, you know, that's what, as far as the lady that's in abuse, call the police if she's being abused physically. I mean, tell her to call the police. So, that's right, David Ickes. The idea is, of course, the man do his job and provide. So finding a man that wants to fulfill this responsibility is the key. And that's the key, is teaching our people who they should marry their daughters off to and who their sons should be, the type of men they should be. So, and that gets into picking the spouse and everything else like that, which is definitely a broadcast we should talk about sometime, because that's important. So, I mean, yeah, those things matter. They absolutely do. Those are things that are good to teach and that pastors need to teach and educate their men on by preaching through the scriptures and showing what it is to be a godly man and what it is to be a submissive wife. All those things are what are to be taught. They don't come automatic. They're trained. That's what I'm saying. It goes back to this teaching in Numbers 30. We teach, we raise our young men to be men, and we raise our ladies to be ladies. That is good, Teresa. Praise the Lord for Brother Daryl and him teaching you the things of the Word of God. That's wonderful. That's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way that it's supposed to be. That's right. Ephesians 5. That is a very important teaching to understand and to review and to meditate upon and to practice. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry about that. Amen. Anybody else out there listening that hasn't said hi at all? Anybody else at all out there? Nothing wrong with finding a church if she can find a church and go to it. But the one thing I've experienced, if men are abusive like that, I mean, a pastor can try to talk to them and try to, but if they don't want to do right, it just gets the pastor tangled up in a bunch of nonsense. I've learned that the hard way. And I've also learned the hard way that those women will turn on that pastor. If that pastor stands up and does what's right and tries to defend that lady and tries to work it out, I found that, and I'm telling you, I found by experience on more than one occasion that the pastor ends up being the bad guy. Just like any domestic dispute. And I'm telling you, by a record of more than one. That you just tell them, call the police. If it's physical abuse like that, just call the police. Yep. Because chances are, let me tell you something. Marcia Eaton, hello from Las Vegas, Nevada. I listen to you each time you are on and pray for you and your family. Amen. That's right, David Ickes. Until reality kicks in and the time reveals the pastor was right. I know. I know. Like I said, I had an old pastor tell me before, or not tell me, but he preached it before. If you stay in this thing long enough, you'll be vindicated. And he was right. On more than one occasion, I've seen it. It's when you don't look for it, that's when it happens. Amen. All right, let's see. Joe McDonald, hope you're doing good. Somebody said, is it a sin to eat junk food? It is if you're carried away with it, just like anything else. It's a sin to drink 15 energy drinks and drink pop all day and make yourself sick or unhealthy or dangerous. You know, that's what I would say. You know? I wouldn't say it's a sin. It might be inadvisable, and it could turn into a sin. But I wouldn't say that it's a sin just to eat a bag of chips or something, you know. That's funny, Teresa. Jacob, I don't have a problem with, Jacob says, I'm a foster parent and I get where you're coming from. I do agree parents should do their jobs, but we live in a sick, sad world and there are lots of children that need home and love. I agree, and I'm not against foster parents. That's not my point. You know, Jacob, I'm not against foster parents. I'm not. I have foster parents in our church. So, I'm not against them. You know, I'm talking about the comparison that's made with the government and their authority over families. You know, that's the point that I'm making. Nothing else. Not anything to do with the institution of foster parents. All right. Let's see. Sarah was on there. Sarah R. My wife was on there. Lisa, Aaron, the authorized Mike, be found in Christ. Kate, Kayla. Yep. All right. Anyway, well, I think I'm out of here. Wow, that's too bad, Teresa. That's too bad. Pray for her friend that needs to be saved, and her husband was not kind to her, it looks like. All right, everybody, I'm going to get out of here. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next.